Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube podcast. This is episode 36. And, I can't remember why I'm here. Morgan, that's enough. This is my podcast, mate. That's enough. Leave it alone. Okay. Hello and welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast. I'm Paul, your host. This podcast is all about Porsche and their cars and the people and the technology and the engineering that goes behind it. You'll find your Porsche stories, which is us, me, talking to you about your Porsche, your journeys and your life experiences with those cars. Tech Talk, which is all about the technical aspects of Porsche. Waffle, which is just me whittering on about basically anything with some friends, and Heritage, which looks at the entire journey of Porsche from the earliest days to the present day. If that sounds interesting to you, then stick around. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to episode 36. I hope you're all right. I hope you're doing well. Back again for another episode. And as it's a Thursday, all the episodes drop from the podcast on Thursday on any podcast streaming service. So if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review. That's always a big thanks for those. Enjoy seeing those come through. Spotify now has an opportunity to ask questions, Q&A at the bottom, so you are welcome to ask any questions, and if I can get opportunities to, I will always respond to those. And if you head over to Instagram at Rengineering UK on Instagram, I post on there fairly regularly. Finally, it goes without saying that the YouTube channel is live. Loads of previous episodes. There's a big feature, 50-minute feature of me driving through the Alps. There's a bit of a sort of mental health, my personal Porsche story, but also just a tour in the Alps as well. So you can watch that, plus loads of other podcast episodes. Lots of the interviews that you can see in the back catalogue of this podcast are there in there for you to actually watch as well. So if you haven't seen some of those, feel free to head over to YouTube. But for now, let's get on with the episode. So this week's episode is a Your Porsche Story. And it's going to be with a chap that I met quite a while back now, James Lee from Outlaw Gear. Before the Your Porsche story, though, as always, is a bit of an intro. So a few things to talk about this week. Woes for me. Disaster struck and both of my cars have had faults. So I've been getting mucky, as I typically don't pay anyone to work on my cars. That would defeat the object a little bit, wouldn't it? So before we get into that, though, Chris Harris of Top Gear UK and Harris Drives and lots of other stuff that Harris does, collecting cars mainly now, posted pretty recently about collecting cars, having a 993 RS, Porsche 911 993 RS in, I think it was Arctic Silver, but it was, I mean, it was the absolute unicorn, right? So I forget the mileage, but the mileage was both frustratingly and tantalizingly low. And because of that, because of the fact that the mileage was so low, it pretty much looked like a new car throughout. Now, Chris obviously gets a bit excited and talks about the paint being original, and you can't really tell that sort of stuff unless you're an expert, because good paint can be covered up pretty well. But you could tell it was a really special car. That car went to auction and finished just a few days ago and sold. Now, this is the UK, remember, so don't translate this into the US, because obviously US prices are slightly different, I would say, especially if they go to Mecum or something like that, where it's a big auction house. But on collecting cars, went for £493,000, which, when you think about what a 993 RS is, it's a special car. And in particularly low numbers, and that's a particularly rare example, but £500,000, wow, was not expecting that. But then you start thinking, or I started thinking, okay, well, look at some of the other stuff that's out there. Carrera GTs, 1.5, 1.6, 1.7 million. Congratulations, Tom Exton, on your excellent purchase at, what, 700 grand or whatever it was. Did very well. 918 Spiders, obviously loads of money still. But when you start seeing 9/11s of any kind of iteration heading way into the mid half million figures, it really starts, especially seeing as though the market typically for financial stuff with Porsche in general has suffered heavily in the last 6 months, right? And you know, lots of people call it a correction, starting to look at pre-COVID figures and you know what COVID did to financial markets and people feeling like they had a lot of money to spend, or you know, and borrowing was very cheap, so people extended further than they would normally, and then, but actually that's changed, right? So much more recently, and I'm not excluding myself from this, you just become a little bit more careful. You know, mortgage prices and mortgage rates in the UK are more expensive. It's everything's more expensive. Inflation's gone nuts. So yeah, it's surprising for me to see a car go for that much money. Be interested to see whether that sets a precedent. I'd love to see you know, a Carrera RS or something like that now head into, you know, Rubystone Carrera RS and see what that goes for. You know, those sort of special cars, slightly less special than a full-on riveted wide-body 993 RS, but actually, you know, what the 964s start to do as well. I mean, they're expensive, but not half a million quid's expensive. So at that point, you're kind of almost looking at, well, you can go out and get a nut and bolt resto mod. Now, purists out there will obviously think about resto mods as lesser than, but I don't know. I mean, I know some, you know, I've been to some places and I've talked about this already, but I'm off to go and see Rennsport very soon, and I'll get to see some of their cars, and they're obviously, those cars, you know, are nut and bolt restorations, turnkey resto mods with, you know, a completely ground up designed engine. You know, they're really very special cars, and if you are the sort of person that's got that much money to spend on something that's a sixth car, and let's say it's not going to be a first or second car, you're probably going to compare and contrast the two, right? You're going to look at those super resto mods versus what special stuff can you buy that's factory. So I'd be really interested to hear your views on this, what you think, whether you think you would spend your money, your half mil, on a very special resto mod, or whether you prefer to stick with something factory. No judgment either way, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So there will be a post for this episode over on at Rengineering UK on Instagram, and then just drop your thoughts in there, let me know. Or you can email me, particularly if you want to be on Your Porsche Stories. Actually starting to get kind of light on Your Porsche Stories now, so particularly that's important to me. I really love hearing from you, and actually when I'm starting to edit today's episode, normally what I'd do is clip the start and finish where I've kind of had some background chat with somebody before, and then you'll hear obviously me go into presenter mode and all that stuff. I'd normally nip the edges off, just so it's clean. And actually, I wanted you guys listening to this, if you're considering being on Your Porsche Stories, just to hear what the end-to-end's like, right? So you can get a much better feel for what your experience would be like. So I'm leaving in all the little chit-chat beforehand and the chit-chat afterwards, and you can hear all that, and that's coming up very shortly. What else, though? So, my woes. As some of you will know, if you listen to the podcast for some of the episodes now, I have a daily driver that is a VW Up, a very old 2012, 107,000 mile VW Up. It's super old. It emits basically no emissions. I maintain it myself. I get salvage or recycled parts where I can. So I try to operate that car in the most sensitive to the globe, to global warming, to you know, everything to do with the environment. That car is my opportunity to kind of do my best with. It's more ecologically sound to run an old car like that, emitting basically no emissions, than it is to buy a brand new Tesla. There's no argument there. That is just the way it is. It's not for everybody, right? Because it means sometimes when things don't work as well as they are, because it's 12 years old, so stuff fails, I've got to get my hands dirty. Well, that happened the other day because I was driving, luckily fairly locally, and the coolant warning light pops up. I thought, okay, well, you know, it can't be that bad. And then it started flashing at me, and I was like, right, that's that then. So Luckily, I must have been less than a mile from home, so I limped home very slowly. And the problem with that car is, I did gamble, right? So I'm not advising that you do this, but that car doesn't have a temp gauge. It has a warning light, which, and the same, you know, lots of cars that aren't designed for anything more than shopping use, they typically don't have like an oil pressure gauge or an oil temp gauge or a coolant temp gauge. They just have lights. It's everything's great or stop the car, pull over immediately. Well, I took a tiny bit of a gamble and drove the last sort of mile, half mile home, got back, parked up, and the radiator dumped the rest of the coolant on the floor. There was some coolant left in the car, thankfully, so I think I've probably got away with it. But it was very obvious that radiator had it. Now, here's the difference between Porsche prices and VW prices. The cost of a radiator for that car, and so what did I buy? I bought a radiator, a top hose, because I noticed some, not cracking, but just degradation of the rubber that was sort of at the, so it literally joins to the top of the radiator. The radiator was £60. The coolant was about 10, whatever G12 is, G13 is, which is the pink coolant you see typically in Volkswagen cars. And the top hose was like £13 or something like that. Anyway, dirt cheap. Anyway, so the whole job's cost like, you know, less than £100, and then you compare that, right? And you know, and then you're up and running again. Your car's fixed. Off you go. If you're lucky and you pulled over, that is, and you haven't driven for too long with no coolant in your car. Whereas a Porsche, if you ditch, you're in for like £700 or £800 plus labour. Obviously, labour's quite significant because pressure bleeding a car with the engine at the back, radiator at the front, or radiators at the front. There's quite a lot in it to try and get that sorted with a Volkswagen, a kind of very easy front engine, front wheel drive car like that little VW up of mine. There's not even a bleed point on the car. You just leave the cap off, run it up to temperature, wait till the fan cuts in, and you're pretty much good to go. So super simple. So I guess the moral of the story is, if you know, it's great to buy and run old cars. It is definitely more environmentally friendly to do that than run brand new, very expensive, not super efficient electric cars, because we still haven't hit that point yet. But you're either going to have to chuck it into a garage and get those little jobs to be done, or you're going to have to do it yourself. There's a part of me that's slightly sadistic, don't enjoy coolant changes because it's pretty hard to do those without making a mess. But otherwise, you know, working on an old car like that is, as long as you're not rushed, it's fine. So then I'm thinking, well, there you go, that's that done. You know, nice easy job. It's not, you know, not been too challenging. And then driving the Porsche to, and for those of you that haven't listened to the podcast before, I have a 2015 981 Cayman. That is kind of in, again, all the episodes for this, where I've got to so far with that car, are on YouTube for the build. But it's a little outlaw Cayman, so no engine mods just yet. I'm going to think about those in the long run, but lots of interior changes, lots of exterior changes, and sort of working through the car pretty steadily to kind of do an OEM plus version of a Cayman. If you could do exclusive manufacturer back in the mid-2010s even, that's what I've gone for. Driving down the road, you know, loud white 981 Cayman, you know, get enough looks as it is, and then the car alarm starts going off as I'm driving down the road on the motorway, you know, doing a moderate speed. Pretty much looks like I've stolen the car, doesn't it, really, at that point? So and I wasn't anywhere near home, and I had about a 25 minute drive home with the car alarm going off. So yes, I eventually made it home. Started as you do, right? Because again, I just about buttoned up the app, and then this happens, and you know, you do a quick Google search thinking, oh, let's try and sort of half diagnose it on the run, and find out that actually the you know, there's some suggestion, because 981's obviously got Boxsters and you've got Caymans. Boxsters, the drainage channels fairly frequently, especially if a car lives outside, get blocked. Heads up to any Boxster owners of any generation, check your drainage channels. It's a disaster if you let them get blocked. Just get it done. If you're indie or you're dealer is telling you that they are blocked and they suggest you do it, don't argue, just pay the bill or do it yourself, but get them done. Less of a problem with Caymans, but if it goes wrong and you feel a slightly damp or wet footwell in the car, chances are you've had water ingress into the car and nuked the module that's connected to that circuit. So there was a bit of a heart flutter because it's like $2,000 for that. It's a proper job. But the other side of the fence is the alarm module, which is the siren itself, which is under the frunk, which does get wet. You know, I wash that car a lot, I jet wash it, so it's an you sort of accept that sometimes that's going to get damp under there. And yeah, it sits, the alarm sounder, it's so stupid, right? The alarm sounder sort of sits vertically upwards, sorry, horizontally facing upwards, and the sounder's facing up, right? So the water, imagine water coming in underneath and it pools and sits, and I'm sure there's a couple of little drainage holes, but ultimately it saturates it. It's not particularly, it can't be that waterproof because I split it apart afterwards to check it out. And yeah, water ingress had got in there and basically corroded some of the circuit. So it obviously went off for that. But that one alarm sounder unit, despite being a VAG part, right? So Volkswagen Audi Group, and it's used on Octavias, it's used on probably Golfs, all sorts of stuff, including Porsche. So Cayennes, Macans, Caymans, Boxers, all of those cars use the same unit. And it is £250 for that tiny little sounder, alarm sounder unit. So there you go. That's the difference between a Porsche and a VW Up. If you're ever in any doubt, it costs more money to run a Porsche than it does a VW Up. But if you're unlucky and you've got a Golf or you've got a car like that and that happens to you, you're still going to be in for £250. Thankfully, I've got a really good relationship with Porsche Portsmouth. And Ben, the parts manager there, who's an absolute rock star, managed to get, helped me out with some trade discount, obviously. And then got the part dropped off to me this morning. And it was a very simple 13 mil single fixing. And it was in and done and reconnected and problem solved within about 5 minutes. But that's life, right? Sometimes you, if you're going to run these cars, you've got to face the fact that to maintain them properly, which I would suggest if you're buying your first Porsche, get a good independent to check it out. I particularly use Barnsport. Scotty at Barnsport's a good mate of mine, and he is the only person I would trust to look after my car. There are lots of good indies across the country, though, in the UK, and there's probably lots around the world, actually. Find a really good independent that you've got lots of good feedback for. Drop the car in for a pre-purchase inspection, or if you've done that bit already, you got carried away and you bought the first car you saw, like me, then my advice would be to get a post-purchase inspection done, just so you know what you're dealing with, right? And if there are anything, like if you've got a 996 or early 997 and you've got things like IMS bearings or RMS seals, then you can catch those things nice and early before anything major goes wrong. Or there's other stuff that doesn't look like it's going to be a major issue, but it presents an actual, you know, fairly sizable issue. So anything like that, anyway, you can catch all of those sorts of things by a good independent. And they're not all good, right? So a friend of mine, I'm not going to divulge names because I don't want to run someone down with secondhand news or a company down with secondhand news. But they did feedback to me that they spent a vast amount of money having a new clutch fitted, only for the clutch to start slipping almost immediately after they drove off, and he lost complete faith, not just for that, but for a few other things that he noticed as well through that process, and it cost him about $3,000 or $4,000. So do your research, look, you know, don't trust me, just look on the internet. There's forums and all sorts everywhere, and Facebook groups or whatever, or even Instagram posts that will recommend a good independent. If you want to reach out to me, like I said, I'm at Rengineering UK. I can recommend a few that I know of around the country now. Do that. So do all of that. That's you. That's my public service announcement for today anyway. And as we come to that point, let's start talking about today's Your Porsche story. As I mentioned, James Lee of Outlaw Gear. Outlaw Gear are a friend of the podcast, a friend of the YouTube channel and have very kindly thrown some merch over to me before. They do a great hoodie. They do a black hoodie that I wear all the time, actually, that's got Outlaw written on it. They've got loads of really cool stuff. They've got leather wear that they've created themselves, loads of decal kits, loads of really, really awesome style. I've got a baseball t-shirt, and I used to live in baseball t-shirts, and they've got one that's really cool that they put together there. So I can't recommend the quality of their stuff enough. But as I've said lots of times with this podcast, it's not just about the cars, it's not about the merch in this case, it's about the people. And you can tell from listening to this Your Porsche story that this guy is an absolute rock star, one of the nicest guys I've met, super humble. That's what it's about, right? Is the kind of dispelling the myth of people with Porsche, you know, being up their own ass or a little bit prissy. There's some really awesome people out there, and he is one of them. So here is James Lee and I at Box and Gas 2023 and his 911 SC and his Your Porsche story, and I'll catch you back up at the end.
If it rains, I might stay. Yes. Just put a wheel lock on it and leave her here for the night.
Don't do that.
No.
You got time to do your
Yeah,
ramp?
Sure, yeah.
Wicked. Key got the keys?
I have.
And then we'll just... So this isn't... You're not being filmed, obviously. This is just the mic.
Great. Whatever you need.
What was your name again? Because I've like...
I'm James Lee.
James Lee, thank you.
James is fine.
James is fine.
James Lee makes me sound taller. And it's a given name.
Oh yeah, that's true. Right. James Lee from James or James Lee, we don't mind.
Either's good. Let's call me James Lee for this because it seems quite, you know, important
sound.
And special.
It does. From Outlaw Gear, your SC mate.
Yes.
We're at Megaphonics, and we've been chatting a little bit in the background anyway. But talk me through, because it looks mint. It doesn't look like a runner. It looks like it looks like something that you've restored recently. So
not really. I mean, I've been looking for 17 years. Saving as well, because
yeah.
I previously had a 3.2 Carrera 1988 Guards Red big wing.
Then
you know, life changes, houses and all sorts of things,
of course.
So we're back, and I've been, you know, it's been in my blood and it's been telling me to get back behind the wheel, and I've scoured every ad. I knew every car that was for sale on the planet.
Really? Yeah.
Daily morning routine, evening routine. Wow. And this car came up. I don't know the location exactly, but it was down the bottom of the country and you could see the needles. And this car was bought during lockdown by the previous owner at Sotheby's, I believe, Auckland.
Oh, okay.
He did a top end rebuild on it.
Yeah.
Car was in very good condition.
It was just leaky, was it?
Yeah,
excessively
a little bit.
Leaky.
Possibly. It sat for a while.
Right,
so just renewed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Wasn't a Porsche guy. He's a guy who restored all sorts of cars and has done for a long time.
Oh, okay.
I think he was in his 70s. He knew his stuff. But he was literally reading manuals on how to do this. So we went by the book.
Wow.
Yeah, but a very talented mechanic. The SC, it's a non-sport. So you have the driver's side wing mirror only.
Okay,
the previous owner has
yeah.
put another wing mirror on the passenger side.
How do you feel about that? Are you happy with that?
I don't mind it. I mean, people do tell me they should be offset. They are not offset. They are mirrored, which works for me.
Yeah,
I'm a shorty.
Yeah.
I can see out both of them. And I like things just so, and it's a little bit different. And it looks visually very, very cool.
Yeah.
Because it's a 1979, it's got a lot of the chrome surrounds.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a nice little vintage twist on the G model. It's an early one.
Yeah.
It's got the little, and I'm not sure what you call
it. What
them.
Year is it again? It's
79.
79, right.
Non-sport.
Yeah.
So you don't have the rubbers at the bottom.
Yeah.
Spoiler, splitter.
Yes. Yeah.
No fog lights. You got the little...
God, it's clean, isn't
little,
it?
The little water jets that protrude, which
yeah.
I call them like warthog teeth.
Right.
Very pretty.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it. What I've done in my ownership, it's lowered. It's got a better stance.
Yeah,
nothing special there. That's purely... ratcheting it down to its lowest,
let
it all go, and it rides beautifully. It's very comfortable. I mean, we came 3.5 hours today to
from Cleethorpes.
From pretty much that area,
yeah.
Cleethorpes, East Coast, Lincolnshire. Beautiful ride, a better ride than my daily JCW.
Yes,
much softer.
Which is hard, right?
Yeah, it's a hard ride.
Yeah.
Other things we've done. I mean, there's a minor crack in the dash. People, you know, can live with that.
I don't think I'd change that.
No, it's like a wrinkle.
No.
It's got a story. The bright work, the chrome, is a little bit gnarly, but I like that.
I'm cool with that as well, yeah.
Tells a story.
Yeah.
It's got a flat deck, I previously had a whale tail.
Yeah.
And I really like the lines. The G body is just really, I love it.
I think it's fantastic.
I know there's less of them because they're getting backdated. I do love a backdate, but I don't think I'm going to meddle with this too much.
No, it's in too good a condition. If it was a basket case,
yeah.
Go nuts,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the interior, I mean, the first thing I've done, we've got a Momo Pro Tip steering wheel.
Of course.
Feels great. De rigueur looks great.
For yeah, you 911s, must. Yeah.
It has to be done. We've got cocoa mats from the States because we've got a.
Oh, yeah, can
brown,
I look at those?
Yeah, we've got a brown interior. So we've got cocoa.
Because I was looking at these as well, I was thinking. I mean, they're not cheap, but they
really
are
good, really good quality. The people that send them to you do a great job with it. And it just, yeah, what I like about this model is because the previous 88, it didn't have the open legroom. You know, this is fully open across.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just really sets the space. It's like an old VW.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. And it's so it's like a, what's the cocoa interior?
Cocoa brown.
Yeah.
The carpets were done a while ago. They would have been brown. But they're black.
Yeah,
it works because everything's brown and black.
I think it's spot on. Yeah,
We've upgraded the front speakers. We've got little tweeters that are on brackets that fit well because we've not drilled any holes in.
Nice.
To keep it original, and it can be put back if anyone wants to.
Yeah,
we've got Porsche Classic head unit. Helps me with sat nav to get to places
like this.
And we were just talking to a gentleman about it. It's like, it's a great sat nav. She actually tells you when to turn before the turn, unlike my JCW.
At the point of turning. Yeah.
I think it's because Porsche knew that if you're in one of these, you need a bit of time with the gearbox to get your gear.
Yeah.
And prepare for that turn off. Anything else we've done? The dials have all been turned so I can actually see the revs and the speed through the aftermarket wheel.
Yeah.
I've been to some car shows locally to us, non-Porsche. People giggle and go, Porsche don't know how to build a car. Look, they can't get the dials right. I have to set them straight and say, that's purposeful.
It's a choice.
It's an aftermarket thing.
Yeah.
And other than that, interior-wise, nothing much. Obviously, we've
gear
got...
Gear knob.
The gear knob is from 911 in Austria.
Fine, yeah.
Who's become a friend and a supporter of what we do.
Brilliant.
It's a hand-turned knob, and you got to choose what finish you wanted on it.
Yeah.
I picked it to offset our interior and the cocoa mats.
Great choice.
Feels great. And arguably, pound for pound, on modifications to your car, that's been the best investment.
There you go.
Because of it's your touch points. It's what you're feeling.
Yeah,
this is an analog
steering wheel
car,
and yeah, absolutely.
So those touch points have to be there. You know, totally. Again, the daily, the mini, the gear knob's wearing probably from too much hand sanitizer during COVID and the leather's coming off. And it's like, could we get another one of these for that? So I've actually asked if that's something that can be done.
Nice.
And anything else interior? Nice. Obviously, we've got our air freshener for that little bit of Digitus Pegasus with attitude.
On that, so talk to me about Outlaw Gear then. So when did you start this?
We started Outlaw Gear officially in November, but it's been in our minds for a long time.
God, it feels like it's been around a lot longer than that.
Well, it does to us too, because it's been in our mind a long time.
Yeah.
And I do it with my colleague, my partner, my wife, who actually hand makes the bangle side to our business.
Yeah, awesome.
And I mean, she's helped push this. This is a passion project. This is not our full-time gig.
Right.
We are designers and web developers, so we do branding and identity for clients, and we're doing it for us with something that we are passionate about and we love.
Nice.
So
that comes across.
Hopefully, it comes across.
It absolutely comes across your passion for it. Even just talking to me now, it's like you can tell it's running through your body. So
yeah, I mean, with Megaphonics and here, had the car. First thing we did, tickets, we want to come, we've never been before.
Yeah.
Not long after we bought the tickets, Frank approached us and said, do you want to trade? We're like, you don't say no to Frank to come trade at Megaphonics, particularly with our new venture.
It's kind of an honour, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a seal of approval from a really cool guy, really passionate guy into this scene.
And he is so detail-oriented. I don't think he'd invite anybody that he wouldn't stand behind, right?
No. And
it's a reflection on him as much as it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we were talking to some of the event people, and they're going, oh, you must be one of Frank's. And it's like, yes, we're one of Frank's, and we're very proud of that.
I bet
you
are, yeah.
They went, Frank likes quirky things, and we're like, yes, that's us.
Yeah,
that's pretty much us. Outside the car, what have we done? We've got our decals. You can see our decals. You can find them on our website. The exhaust has been modified to a certain extent. I guess, I don't know the exact details. It's got a bigger outlet now. the equivalent of a Gundo hack, potentially.
Okay.
Because I found that the SC, or this particular one, didn't have much of a note to it. There was no grizzle, growl, right. And I like a bit of noise.
Yeah, yeah.
In an eternal child.
Hey, you don't need to convince me. My car is... You know I'm coming from a mile away, apparently.
That's great. Well, now people are going, your car sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, it didn't. I mean, it even pops and bangs at low speed, which, oh, that just makes me so happy.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Other things we've done, because we've renewed things. The doors didn't have insulation.
Okay.
Don't know why. It does now. The electric windows actually work because they've got new motors. Before, they go down a little bit, and that's it. That's it. And that just transforms the car. It makes you feel, well, this is working better.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
again,
yeah.
Touch points.
Fuchs, they look brand new. So
well, because the gentleman who previously had it bought it in lockdown not that long ago.
Yeah.
And they're rocking Avon tyres. These are Fuchs reps. The original wheels are cookie cutters, which I've got in the garage.
So they're still cool too. Yeah, I love a cookie cutter, mate.
I mean, I'd probably go a flat black on them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really getting into cookie cutters.
Yeah, me too, totally.
But everyone goes, don't change in the Fuchs.
No,
really
I get
it does
the look.
Work.
I
it
get
looks
the
great.
Look. Yeah, 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 yeah.
We've taken off the smog parts to the car that didn't really do anything, so tin work out the car. Yeah. That's gone. See, I talk to guys and they go, well, we'll remove the rear wiper for cleanliness.
No.
But the thing is, we live in the UK.
You know, not only that, I've got this beer in my body because I've got a rear wiper as well, right? Do you, like, anyone listening to this, go and do your research on Porsche rear wipers and why they are really important to the brand.
Yeah.
And then come back and have an argument with me about whether you lose the rear wiper or not. And if anyone
wants
to. It's
all about like clean lines, isn't it?
But no, no. Look, the 903 next to us, that's got a rear wiper.
Yes.
You know, okay, there's a few that don't. But I'm rear wiper all the way, so...
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, this is not a show car. We've had lovely compliments today about how clean the car looks, what condition it's in.
Yeah.
That's just from me looking for a good car and getting lucky at the time.
Yeah.
I'm not a mechanic.
Yeah.
I just love the cars. I like how they drive. I love everything it does in my heart, my soul, my spirit. And I got lucky. And I take it to people who know what they're talking about, who are going to look after the car. And they go, you've got a good one. I'm like, well, I thought so. I do a lot of reading up. I'm a bit of a geek, but I'm not
a mechanic. It's obvious it's a good car.
Super clean underneath. When I first saw the car, it was literally in a two-story barn, but it did have a full ramp, and it was up on the ramp.
Yeah.
And I could see underneath it, and you could eat your dinner off it.
Perfect.
So that convinced me.
So what's the future of the car then? Is it drive it and enjoy it? Is it do anything with
it?
Drive
it, enjoy it, maintain it. I mean, I'm the custodian currently. It's not original paint. It's had fresh paint at some point in its life.
It's good though.
Quite a while back because it's proper paint.
Yeah.
It's not what they do these days.
It's glassy. It's got there's no orange peel.
There's the odd blemish where somebody's obviously tried to put their key in the door.
Drunk. Stabbed around the door.
1979, drunk, tried to go from the
bottom. Yeah, bottle of Bollinger in one hand, stepping in with the fag in his mouth in the other, stabbed the door with
I've
a pen.
No, I've no
key.
Doubt. But the thing is, it's like it's part of its history.
Of course it is, yeah.
And I have a long time thing being a designer of getting things just so, just right. And this is a little bit of a mission and a lesson for me.
Yeah.
To enjoy things more. Imperfectly perfect is the thing.
The Japanese
like to
call it
now.
Wabi-sabi, mate.
You just got to go with it. You've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, like to keep it nice, but I'd like to get it running as good as I can. And I just want to get out as much as we can.
Yeah. Sounds good.
What else
me.
Have we done mechanically? Trying to think. It's been a few things. I can't remember. Wheel bearings, those things.
Yeah.
Boring things like that. The lights have been upgraded purposely for today because I'm going to be driving back
in
to Lincolnshire
dark.
And they were like little candles before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've not gone LED, we've just gone for the brighter bulbs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we'll have period correct when we want. Long term, I'd love to get some twin central vintage pipes.
Yeah, okay.
I like the rasp of those, I love the look. It's whether you have the full open, you get rid of the lower valance, or you try and get two lovely little cuts in it for that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the moment, and like the guys who are advising us, the heat exchangers would need to be changed for that.
Right.
And they're in too good a condition to do it, really.
Yeah.
So
it'll be
many years before it needs it.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
I might do it anyway.
Oh, well. Look,
you know, it's an itch.
It is an itch.
You've got an itch, you have to scratch it.
Do you know the thing with anything on now, and I'm learning this as time goes by, restraint is half the battle, right?
It is.
When you just got where it needs to be, and then no more.
Well, I'm listening to people, because like, if you're Lincolnshire-based or up north, Ben at Renspeed, based at Retford, has been brilliant, looking after the car. I mean, I bothered him probably 2 years before I bought the car, asking opinions, like a very annoying customer that you wouldn't want.
Right.
And I was looking at Targas, and he said, Targas, no, they all have wind noise, it'd be problematic, get a good coupe. Like, so I listened to that advice. It was kind of the telling me what I already wanted, really.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I just knew that he was on board. And when we take the car and I've got a few ideas, it's not about necessarily what I want, it's about what's best for the car.
Yeah.
And him and me, we agree that it's just right. So you don't want to do too much more. It's got a little bit of, you know, something special about it. Its stance, the way it drives, the sounds of it now, the little touches.
Yeah.
You don't want to go too much. I mean, we've got to tastefully mod this.
It's,
we've got a little decal, tastefully modded.
It's
just something we've done because that's where we're at. I mean, we appreciate all of the Porsches at something like this.
Whether
it's an RWB build, whether it's a back date, I'd have them all. But my budget is limited. So I've gone for what I could afford and what I do. And I'm loving it. I mean, it's a sunroof. Interesting, the... And you see this a lot on this era. I guess the rubbers have been glued in by somebody who was asleep or on a Friday. So that might be something I do. It's been machine polished for this show. That's why she's sparkling. She's not been driven till this show. And that was a week ago. So she's looking great. The swirls are out. It's because, I went to a local car show and you get all the car valeters rock up, young lads, and they're going, yeah, lovely car, it'd be nice without the swirls, we could do that. So, I listened to peer pressure and I went, okay, I'm going to go and do it then. So a day of machine polishing and
it's come out beautiful.
It's lovely, lovely.
Yeah, well, listen, thank you so much. I could stand and look at this car all day. Guards red, black Fuchs. I mean, it's just it's an icon really, in the kind of... I love it, and thank you ever so much for your time.
No
really
problem.
Appreciate it.
Nice talking.
We'll catch up soon. Take care.
Awesome.
Yeah, mate.
Good.
Thanks so much for that. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you took some glee from both hearing a guy get super excited, matching my excitable nature with his car. And also I hope the PSA that I did at the start of the episode has helped if you're thinking about buying your first Porsche. The episode, I've taken a little bit of a break from YouTube. There is quite a lot going on in my work, like my day job work life. Just started a new job, same company, but as a STEM outreach program manager. So I'm starting to look at how you bring young people and get them really excited and attracted to STEM and engineering, technology and mathematics related jobs, in particularly for me in the air traffic management industry, but also across all airlines and aviation in general. So it's a big job. I've got a load to do. So that's taking a lot of my brain power at the moment, getting into that. So I have taken a little break. There's lots of content to come. I'm still focused on getting the Ren 550 stuff together and out. But because it's a bit of a launch of that, what that potential car will look like when it's built, I'm going to take a little bit of time thinking about it. So these episodes, these weekly drops of podcast content will go out, but just going to potentially slow up ever so slightly. So don't worry, things will still happen. Just taking a little break for now. But I hope you have a lovely week and I will see you all very soon. Again, just a little pump for the Your Porsche Stories episode. If you're interested on being on a Your Porsche Stories episode, particularly if you've got a transaxle car, I'm still really keen to get somebody on, then you can reach me info@reengineering.com, or you can get in touch over Instagram @reengineeringuk. Instagram is the only place where it's @reengineeringuk. Everywhere else it's just reengineering. Anyway, for now, take care, and I'll see you again very soon. Bye for now.